This podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 19 in Ontario, and we ask that you respect your local laws regarding cannabis.
Be sure to like, download, follow, subscribe, and of course, share with your friends.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Amanda.
I'm really excited for this next guest.
She is amazing.
Yeah. When you Google her name, the first thing that comes up?
Forbes 30 under 30.
That's an incredible accolade.
Yeah, she's a leading lady in cannabis in Germany. We were lucky enough to meet her this last spring at Lyft. And Germany has some huge changes happening. Mm-hmm. They are going towards legalization. They are where we were 5 years ago. And she's going to share with us what legalization is going to look like in Germany.
Mm-hmm. So grab a cup of tea and have a listen.
Grab a joint.
Oh, grab a joint and a cup of tea.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Enjoy. After meeting this outstanding woman at Lyft Conference in Toronto last spring, we knew we had met the ultimate high lady.
Mm-hmm.
She is the first woman in Germany to be a licensed wholesaler of cannabis, which is so cool. Welcome virtually to the hot box all the way from Germany, Anna Sophia Kuperanis. Hello.
Hello, ladies. Thank you very much for the great intro.
You are a very impressive person, and sort of working your intro down to 3 or 4 lines was actually very difficult because you're, I think, only 30 years old, but you are more accomplished than many and most in the space.
Thank you very much. You did a great job.
Now, in the last time that we spoke was back at the Lyft conference in June. And there was some conversations that we were having about Germany looking into legalization and some laws and legislation that was on the table but hadn't yet been signed in. My understanding is some big changes have happened in Germany. Anna, could you tell us a little bit about those changes?
Yes, definitely. So I think the last time we spoke, as you mentioned in June, I was telling you about the draft agreement that has been leaked and some information about 2 pillars, basically, of the soon-to-be legalization in Germany. So back then, we had pillar 1 that basically was talking about a soft legalization, as I like to call it, which is home growing of 3 plants, then also of a reclassification of cannabis in Germany, which means that cannabis will not be a narcotic product anymore, which is the greatest information basically for the first pillar for me, not just for the industry, but especially for patients right now. I will get into that later on. And then also the amount that you can basically have on your body when you go around is 25 grams, which is also allowed then. So you have a bit of a decriminalization as well. And you have the social clubs. The social clubs, similar to the ones in California back then, basically little ecosystems that you have to build by yourselves on a nonprofit organization. So everyone has to have, I think, 7 members to found a nonprofit organization to found these social clubs. And there you can actually grow the product and then also pass it on to the members, but without getting any money in that sense. So you basically just have a membership fee and you cannot consume. So basically the name of a social club is not that that good for the system, because it's more like a cannabis club where you actually get your product and then you move on and you consume it somewhere else. The thing about where to consume is a bit tricky in that first pillar, because you cannot consume anywhere close to schools or any other institutes where children are. And so that makes it quite difficult for the consumer then, when it's decriminalized, and also with the cannabis clubs, to actually find spots where to consume. If you look into your city, I bet you have quite a lot of kindergartens, quite a lot of schools, and to understand how many meters you can be away from these institutes is quite difficult. And also the question of that basically comes up with, how do you deal with patients? Do patients also have to be that far away from these institutes? Can they go closer? Because actually you cannot tell a patient where to consume, because the medicine he should be able to take anywhere. So that's a bit of a critique of the first pillar already, but I want to dive into the most important part of the first pillar, which is the reclassification that I just mentioned, which basically means that cannabis, as it is right now in Germany, a narcotic drug, will not be that anymore. So that means patients right now have to suffer severely and chronically to get medical cannabis prescribed from doctors, and it's quite hard for them to find a doctor in Germany to actually do that, because doctors also have very bureaucratic hurdles to actually do prescribe a narcotic drug in general, and then also it being cannabis. You know, there are still in Germany quite a lot of doctors who don't believe in cannabis or don't want to support that kind of drug. And so it's quite hard still for patients to get access to that medicine. And that is also why we decided to found the Bloomwell Group, which is basically, or which had the initial idea of creating an ecosystem for any important stakeholders in the market, being patients, being doctors, being pharmacists. And by doing that, we have underlined three different business models under Bloomware. One, which you have already talked about, which is the wholesaler, the very most classic business model, as I would say, importing product and sending it to pharmacies in Germany. A lot of the product is also imported from Canada still, although European countries are also very much on the rise, but Canada is still a very great exporter in your market and importer in our market for cannabis products. And then we have Algea Care. Sorry, I had to breathe for 1 second. And then we have Algea Care as our second company under Bloomwell Group, which is a telemedicine company for patients right now of cannabis. And so we decided to found that telemedicine company in order to provide more access to patients from educated doctors. So we have gathered more than 70 doctors right now on the platform that are prescribing on a daily basis to patients. We have more than 18,000 patients right now on the platform. And so we have been quite successful over the last 3 years of building that and building, you know, the greatest access pretty much for cannabis in Europe. There's no other institute that has more patients than Algea Care.
Sorry, Anna, can I ask you a question? I was reading with Algea Care that the turnaround for these patients between their initial seeing the doctor and being able to receive their medicine is as little as 24 hours.
Yes, that's the third company basically I'm getting to right now is why we can actually do that, is after we have tackled the doctor's problem, we decided that we cannot stop there. We actually have to also look into the pharmacies issues that we're having in Germany. So before our marketplace, Grüne Brise, we have actually had little pharmacies in Germany that were focusing, some of them were focusing on cannabis, most of them were not. So we have 19,000 pharmacies in Germany, and around 3,000 only cover the market for cannabis. And it's very hard again for patients to find pharmacies that one, have to have their product ready on stock, which is nearly impossible, and also two, have a good pricing. And so over the years, they have been establishing a few of the online pharmacies that you probably already know that in Germany exist. So they have a typical online pharmacy model just for cannabis. And there are roughly 5 good ones out there that really have good product variety and good pricing. But still, it was hard for patients to actually get access to that, because they were very, very easily full with patients. So a few of them actually have put on their website that they cannot accept more patients because they just had too many. And so we decided to actually found a marketplace and onboard pharmacies on our marketplace to actually provide more product variety and more access to better pricing for the patients. And then to your question of how is it possible to get these products delivered so quickly, is because we own basically the entire value chain. So from the logistics of the product, of importing and sending it to the pharmacies, of prescribing it, to actually sending it then from the pharmacies to the patient is all under the Blumel umbrella. And this is why we can coordinate so quickly and send the product directly from prescription to the patient's doorsteps within 24 to 48 hours.
That's incredible.
That is incredible, especially since I was reading that only 2% of Germany population was able to get access to this cannabis. So something like the Blumel Group, making it so efficient and easy, is exactly what patients need.
Yeah, it's like they've created their own little ecosystem where they're like, from diagnostic to treatment, we will guide you and hold your hand through this process to get you what you need.
Yeah, instead of making it leaps and hurdles and, you know, just impossible to even approach. That's amazing.
So this exactly. And now coming back to the reclassification that I was just talking about, actually, from the soon-to-be legalization of cannabis for next year, basically the struggles that we're still having at Algea Care side and at the Grüne Brise side and also at the wholesaler side is that we are dealing with a narcotic product. So everything still has to be paper-based. We have, of course, for the patients facing, everything is digital, but in our processes, a lot is paper-based. And we have extreme costs, we have extreme bureaucratic hurdles, and with the reclassification of cannabis not being a narcotic anymore, obviously, the process and the value chains of these each specific companies will be a lot leaner, and we can even act faster. We can do e-prescription. We can actually send product right away to the patient, and all these nice things that will come with the reclassification will make it easier, faster, and also cheaper for patients to actually get their product, which is everything we believe in for Blumel.
That's amazing. I imagine that with the declassification as a narcotic, you'll be able to onboard more doctors because it'll be like, oh, well, at least like I'm not prescribing a narcotic, right? I'm prescribing a plant, you know, and if there's less things holding my hands at the doctor's hands together, they're going to be more open. And they'll say, you know what, I will read the research. I will take the time to educate myself so that I can be a better doctor for my patients. I see.
Yes,
no.
And actually, not every doctor in Germany can prescribe a narcotic. So you have to have a specific education for that to actually prescribe narcotics. And obviously, I bet there are a few doctors out there that actually would want to prescribe cannabis but can't because they are not going into the direction of prescribing narcotics because it's just too much hassle for them.
Yeah.
So they just decide to stick with the normal medication. So all these doctors will be able, we will be able to onboard with Algea Care. And also from the patient side, as I was telling you, patients right now have to be pretty much very chronically ill. They have to be treated until a certain point where they cannot actually have a successful treatment anymore, and that's when cannabis comes in, like it used to be in Canada as well. Yeah. And now with the reclassification, you can actually prescribe cannabis like it would be a high dosage form of ibuprofen or something like that. So you wouldn't have to actually prove to the doctors and show your whole journey of as a patient how severely sick you are. You can get it a lot quicker, and this will be a great success for a lot of patients that right now cannot get cannabis because their diagnosis is just not severe enough, which sounds very stupid, but that's just how it is.
I remember that. I was just going to say, I remember that in Canada, we had a lot of that.
Well, it is so stupid, Anna, because it's like, okay, we're going to wait until there's nothing else. You're past the point of no return. You have no quality of life, you know, whatever. Instead of using it as a medicine to proactively treat these symptoms of these patients and actually get them before it's at that point. And I'm thinking as well, because there's so much stigma, and I'm sure it's even harder in Germany, there's probably people who want to access this as medicine, but don't because of the stigma, because it's a narcotic. So it will open up cannabis to a whole range of people who had maybe thought about it, but closed the door at the fact that it was illegal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now we have roughly 150,000 patients in Germany that we can track under the statutory health insured program. that take cannabis on a regular basis or have taken it at least one time. And just looking at the projections on the legal market, what we could actually have in terms of numbers. I mean, there are 4 million adults right now in Germany that currently consume cannabis on a regular basis. And all these 4 million could actually be potential patients when the reclassification will hit. So we believe the market will 5 to 10-fold very quickly in the first year. And I mean, last year we had 25 tons imported all over the world from flowers and extracts. And if you just believe how big the market will be, if you tenfold it, it will be 250 tons of cannabis imported in terms of extracts and flowers, which is insane for Germany. Yeah. We've never hit any number close to that. So that's why I think, especially for export companies like Canada, that is a market that will open up that is very important to actually play a big role in it. And I mean, Canada has a lot of great growers. They have been growing for quite a long time. They have had the medical program for such a long time. And a lot of them have the UGMP license, which is great. A lot of them are getting the GACP license, which is also really great, which we can use properly for the reclassified market. And I would suggest to any Canadian grower to at least get GACP in order to play a role in the German market.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm writing that down. So let's let's just go back to, so in mid-August, these papers were signed. Now there is a framework. It is in writing, where when we saw you last, Anna, it was leaked but not, you know, official yet. So a lot of the legalization in Germany looks very similar to what we're doing in Canada, including, like, why we're doing it.
That's what I was going to say. When it comes to cannabis legalization, it seems like a lot of nations have sort of, like, the same goal, right? So, like, not providing contaminated substances, protecting kids, protecting the health of the consumer.
Curbing the black market.
Quality.
Yes.
All those kinds of things.
So that's very similar to Canada. We are allowed to grow 4 plants, and Germany decided randomly on 3. What's that about?
Actually, I have no idea.
They just wanted to be a bit different.
I have no idea where the 3 plants came up. I think it's similar in Spain also to have 3 plants. Maybe that's where they have got it from. But I mean, 3 plants, 4 plants. The thing that doesn't add up to me is that you are allowed to carry 25 grams of cannabis flowers with you, but you're allowed to home grow 3 plants. So in that sense, you will definitely have more than 25 grams. So what are you going to do with the harvested flowers if you go above 25 grams? Do you just throw them away, or I don't know? So are like small things in the draft that I really don't understand.
Mm. Well, I know that here in Canada, because we, you know, same sort of rules, our carry limit is 30 grams. But in Canada, you can have as much cannabis as you want or need or can store inside your home. It becomes what you can carry when you leave your home.
Or in your car.
Or in your car.
Like,
as soon as you leave, you know, the confines of your house, that's when this limit comes into play. So I would imagine it would be the same. I would hope it would be the same, because if you had to throw away, like, 2.5 plants like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't see that being a thing. But also, Anna, like, you can carry 25 grams a day, but you can only buy 50 grams a month?
From the cannabis shop.
Okay.
Exactly. So you can have up to 25 grams per day. So you could actually go at least 2 times a month to get your 50 grams from the cannabis shop. But also getting, I mean, you have, one cannabis shop can have up to 500 members in one shop. And one member can have up to 50 grams. So I mean, getting supply for these 500 members will not be too easy. I mean, we know the struggles of cultivating, and we know how hard it is to actually have a stable strain. And then thinking of having one ecosystem and another one, a very small one, in every cannabis club, and having not the financial stability to actually get machines and get all kinds of equipment that you would actually need to have a good and prosperous flower, I think it's very hard for these cannabis shops to actually have harvests that will be enough for the 500 members.
So that's where Germany is really differing from Canada. So Canada, we decided that we'd put a dispensary on every single corner in right. every single city.
And every single one of those dispensaries would have to buy their cannabis from the wholesaler, who is made up of a bunch of, well, no, sorry, is a government organization that buys from these licensed producers. I much prefer this German model.
I don't think so. I do not think so, because what Anne is talking about is they're private clubs.
Yep.
You pay a membership.
Yep.
You hope that you've got somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yep.
There's a lot of upfront costs. So now if I'm struggling and I'm, you know, young and not well, or if I, you know, I don't have money, I'm not going to be able to buy into a good club. So now I don't have access to great cannabis. If I'm rich, then I can be part of the Richie Rich Cannabis Club, who has the master grower and the best lights
right.
and the best genetics and all of that.
And they've imported all of their things, and they have, you know, maybe they're bringing a Canadian over
yeah.
to set. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you
the people that are financially, you know, not as stable, they're going to have to invest in something that may not actually come to fruition with plants for
yeah.
6 months, a year. Who the
yeah.
fuck knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've changed my mind. All right, I think my preference is back to the Canadian way. But at the same time, I like this model because, like, I don't know, if you and I wanted to start a club, right? Like, if we just had the space in our, you know, on our property to do something like that, then we could grow just for our friends. Like, we could create a nonprofit.
But now our friends are paying the rent and paying the taxes and paying the hydro, and your lights just broke, and now you've got thrips, and now there's a mold problem. Amanda, all your pot just went dead overnight.
Mm.
Sorry. I want to know Anna's opinion on it.
Yeah,
we're obviously
right.
opinionated on this. What are your thoughts on this model?
Yeah, I think both of the points that you just said, both of them, actually, we also thought about them. And I think it's very clear, if you really look at the draft of the first pillar, that Germany is favoring the medical market. So, because in the end, yes, you can buy cannabis from a cannabis shop. And yes, you can walk around with legal cannabis all over. But in the end, you will have the best quality, the most differentiated products, and the highest variety of product in the pharmacy still. Because with the reclassification, nearly everyone who has some kind of diagnosis, and it doesn't have to be chronic, just a headache, can then in the end get cannabis. So I think it's a lot easier if you would buy cannabis from an online pharmacy and would have it sent to your doorstep, instead of going all over the city. And you have to imagine the cannabis shops, they are not even allowed to have a sign in front of the door that says cannabis club. And so you cannot market anything. So there would have to be, I guess, a third party website that shows where cannabis clubs are in the city. And then you would have to go there, you would have to find them. You have you can buy the product, you don't know the quality. You have to be a member, so you have to pay monthly, and you don't even know if you're going to get product at all, because maybe the harvest is just not good. And so by being a patient, you don't have to deal with that at all. You just go to your doctor, and it can be any doctor. They prescribe the product to you. You go to the pharmacy, and you probably even pay less because, as you said, you know, buying all the equipment, buying all the machinery, doing that all for the first time, there's going to be a lot of costs that you would have to consider. And also from the safety perspective, the cannabis clubs have to be very high on safety. So you would actually have to have a fence around it. You would have to have cameras installed. You have to have not a valve, but like similar, you have to have something to close up where the cannabis is stored. So there are some safety precautions you would have to do from the state that would actually also cost more money. So I think what Germany is trying to do is they're trying to give the people some kind of a decriminalization and some kind of a legal market, but under the umbrella of a medical market that is just a lot easier to handle than the narcotic one that we have right now. And then the dispensaries you were talking about in the beginning that are existing in Canada as of now, this is something that Germany would like to do for the second pillar of the legalization. So that will come probably in, I don't know, 2 years from now. The timing is not really set yet, where actually Germany will have a research-based pilot program all over Germany, where you can have dispensaries and you basically can have a kind of like a legal market like you have in Canada, but it's under a pilot program. And that pilot program will be for a couple of years. I think it was 4 years, where the pilot program will be evaluated, and then they will check after 4 years if they would like to roll it out or not. So that's something that will come. But as of now, everything that the parliament and the federal council and the politicians are focusing on is the first pillar. And actually, we're very close of getting the first information of the parliament, how they like the draft right now. So let me tell you a bit about the process, maybe, of what's coming ahead of us right now. So as you know, the draft was finalized by Karl Lauterbach and team. And on the 29th of September, the draft is officially handed in to the Federal Council, and they have 2 weeks to respond to this draft. Federal Council doesn't have a right to actually raise objections against the law. So basically, the Parliament can overrule the Council at any time if they have something against the law. But just as a matter of pro forma processes, they have to provide the draft to the Federal Council for their reaction and their approval. So then on the 12th of October this year, the Federal Council will actually give their critiques and their points on the draft to the Bundestag, which is the parliament in Germany, and we will hear the critiques of the Federal Council. Then they will take these critiques, they will put it in another draft. On the 16th of November, there will be a second and a third hearing, where again the important reading is the second reading, because there all of the critiques will be added up again. So there will be another debate, a live debate of all the critiques that they have on the draft. They will put it into the draft, and then the third reading is basically where they pass the law. So this year still, the law can be passed. That will be on the 16th of November. And then by the 1st of January, actually 2024, we could have the first bill of legalization in Germany with the reclassification and the cannabis clubs.
Wow, that's, I mean, a long time coming. It looks like you're crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's and doing it right.
I love that Germany's starting with this, with the medical side of things, like prioritizing patients. Like, that's what I hear when I hear what's happening in Germany.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yes, and I also think from the process point, it's easier, because getting all the politicians, all the parties involved with an actual 100% legalization will be a lot harder than having just a softer medical market, as I like to call it, yeah, and still have many patients who could actually onboard now as being a cannabis patient.
Yeah, and when you have doctors involved, like, you get research and you get more funding to find out more information, right? Like,
I have exactly. One more question here. I'm just being the devil's advocate. So you've got this great medical system, very sort of convoluted way to get it on the legal market. So you're saying a lot of people are going to go to the medical side. Does the medical cannabis system in Germany, will it be able to handle an influx of that many new patients and be able to serve everybody that wants medical cannabis?
I think it will be very similar to the beginning of 2017. So when in March 2017, the medical cannabis market has opened up in Germany. There has been very little supply, and of course, you know, the patient numbers were not too big, but still, it was always a struggle in the first year to actually get enough supply for the patients. I think now it will not be a year of actually just a dry land and a lot of patients who are looking for product, because we do have a lot of wholesalers, we do have a lot of established cannabis companies, we do have a lot of established partnerships with growers that have great facilities who can actually do a lot more of growing than they're doing right now. Nearly everyone is throwing away cannabis at the moment. I mean, you know it from Canada. So there's a huge oversupply right now in many countries, especially in Canada. So I think, yes, the first months, maybe the first 3 months will be a bit hectic, and maybe it will be a bit chaotic. But then I think the partnerships will kick in and growers will adjust to the new new sizes of the orders, you know, and then the volumes will also be covered. So I think it's just a sense of actually getting in line and balancing it out. But for sure, I don't believe it's going to be as chaotic as when we first started with the cannabis market in 2017.
Wow, this is so exciting for mm-hmm. Germany. And I think it's exciting for all of Europe because Germany is going to lead the way and the rest of the EU is going to use this as a model and start to follow, we hope. And
yeah, they'll be like, oh, look, Germany did it, and they did it, you know.
And look how much money they made.
That's what I was leading into. It's like they have a surplus of money.
Yes, and I mean, there are many countries right now in Europe that also believe that whatever Germany is going to do with the legalization, they would like to follow. I mean, we have Czech Republic even saying that they will not even just follow, but they would also actually would like to have a hearing with the EU Commission to actually go around that topic again that Germany has started, where the EU Commission basically said no legalization can be actually done. And then, you know, Germany has worked their way around that phrase of the EU Commission. But now Czech Republic is trying to get another hearing with them and explain everything to get like a real legalization going. And then Switzerland has the adult use cannabis project. I mean, they also have a kind of like a legal market, but again, under a scientific project, which is the only way to do it right now, because you have to prove that it is a scientific base and that you're not just, you know, fully legalizing without any precautions. And so that's what's happening right now in Europe. We have many countries that are looking into that. And I think everyone is just waiting for the end of the year, seeing in November what's going to happen. And if the 1st of January will actually be the met timeline, we believe it's very likely that this will happen. Because again, the parliament basically consists of the parties that actually have written the draft. So they are all pro draft. There are some minor things probably that will be adjusted, like you mentioned with the 25 grams home growing and taking it out. Probably there will be like some things that will be adjusted just to make it easier on the go. But the overall picture of reclassification of cannabis clubs, of home growing and of taking 25 grams, I think that will stay the same. And the good thing is that we only need the parliament's opinion, actually. We don't need the federal council's opinion, but still, as a matter of fact, have to also involve them because that's just the law. But they can technically not block the passing of the law, which is very, very,
very
important.
Cool. Very cool. And you're right in the thick of this, Anna. You are a leader in this space. It's so exciting mm-hmm. for you. So exciting. So we're going to be watching Germany, seeing how this plays out, seeing the ripple effect that it has. And we'll, as Canadians, we'll just keep sending you tons and tons of cannabis. No problem.
That's right.
Yes, we will need them. 2024 is going to be huge. So we will get back to that for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to share this amazing journey for Germany with our listeners, who are probably going to be fascinated.
Yeah.
And you know, there's so much happening in the world, and to see the different models happening, how people are looking at Canada for guidance, how they're differing over the next few years, we're going to see what works, what doesn't work.
Oh yeah, I mean, we see that now. Other countries are like, oh, Canada did it that way, and they weren't great at it. Like, let's see if we can do it a different way and still maintain those, like, protecting minors and health and curbing the black market, right? There is no black and white script for how to do it.
So we'll have to have you back in 2024, Anna, and to see, you know, how this all played out.
Yes, I would love to come back with good news.
Exactly, yes.
All good.
Thanks so much for joining us, Anna.
Thank you very much, ladies. It was a pleasure, like always.
It's really cool to see all over the world these amazing changes that different countries are having, the people that are orchestrating it, pushing it forward, the amount of lives that are going to be changed for the better to have access to cannabis, where in the past in Germany, you basically had to be dying.
Yeah, you had to be, or you had to be a criminal. Right? Like you had to grow it for yourself. Well, so you had to be super sick and be a criminal because you were consuming something that's like
a narcotic,
right? And you're growing the narcotic yourself. You're processing the narcotic and then you're consuming it.
Yeah, like there's issues with the way Germany's doing this, but there's issues with the way every country, including Canada. So they'll iron it out. If anybody can figure out the bureaucratics, it's the Germans.
Yeah, I'll be really excited to see how all of this plays out for Germany over the next few years. And then I'll be interested to see how Canada looks at Germany and goes, oh, they did it that way? Like, maybe we should have thought of that. Okay, like when it's time to review the Cannabis Act again, like, let's not forget about that.
Germany's rec market is poised to be the biggest single rec market in the entire world, bigger than Canada.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a space to watch. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everybody. But you know what? I do think it is time, Amanda, to step away.
Take a toke.
And go be moms. We know you've enjoyed today's episode.
You could not.
And you know how you can support us. We need you to go to your local dispensary, go ask for Kanja products, go get high. And when you get high on Kanja, you are directly supporting High Ladies Podcast. That is easy homework.
Easy.
All righty.
Now, don't forget, if you're looking for a place that you can buy Kanja Farm products, you can always pop into your local Pops Cannabis because they're carrying all their products.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you want to reach out to us, if you have a cool guest you want us to interview, or if you are a cool guest, always feel free to send us an email at
highladiespodcast@gmail.com.
And follow us on Instagram at
highladiespodcast.
All righty. Bye, ladies.